Remember this, nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right, and they know what is right, but they don't have the courage or the guts or the stamina to take it and to do it. It's called the road less traveled. What imprint will you leave in the sands of history? What will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth? Administration is 100% committed to eradicating human trafficking from the earth. This form of modern-day slavery here in the United States and all around the world. We are dismantling the criminal organizations that make large-scale human trafficking possible. We will not rest until we've stopped every last human trafficker and liberated every last survivor. About replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell, to hold their prestige and power at your expense. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exists for only one reason, to protect and enrich itself. A small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected. And we will be protected by God. Did we challenge accepted wisdom and take on established systems? think I did, but we all did. And we're all doing it. Or did we just go along with convention, swim downstream so easily with the current, and just give in because it was the easy way, it was the traditional way, or it was the accepted way? I know that each of you will be a warrior for the truth, will be a warrior for our country and for your family. And as long as America remains true to its values, loyal to its citizens, and devoted to its creator, then our best days are yet to come. I can promise you that.
The His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows like this, along with our social media links, you can get all of that at www.hishardline.com. That's www.hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host, with our sovereign Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, behind the wheel, and in the captain's chair, steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hardline. Today's show is called Why We Assemble. It's going to be a very pivotal, important podcast. One for the books, one I think that needs to go on the front page of my website, maybe possibly the national website, who knows. But Why We Assemble. And today's reading will be out of Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 12. And daily disclaimer, please be advised that I am not a doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer, and while I am a member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good lawful standing, I am not the official face or voice of the National State or County Assembly. That's right, I am not. But I do not endorse or advocate for violence unless it is in self-defense of me and my family and country. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. All right. Well, I hope everybody's having a good weekend so far. It's been a very busy weekend for me. Had a lot to do, I feel like I have not been able to breathe, but you know what? A lot of good stuff happening. The air is feeling different. I'm loving it. Very exciting stuff to come. And if you've listened to some of the past shows over the last couple days, as you would know that I'm starting to go over the Field Training Manual 2000-25. I'd already read through all that last year, but I'm doing it again. So I would highly recommend a lot of you go and listen to those. I'm about two episodes in now. Three episodes now in. The next recording that I will be dropping will be lesson two on the Field Training Manual 2000-25. And some of you might be wondering, well, Jason, why are you reading that? That's for like military members. That's very true. It is. But it is still important for you to understand why that manual was put together. So go check out those shows and continue to follow those shows. But today we're going to be talking about why we assemble. Why do we need an assembly? Now, this show is going to be kind of geared more towards people who are newbies, people who don't know about the Assembly. They don't know about the National Assembly, which, by the way, if you want to go to that website, it's www.national-assembly.net. That's national, the little dash, assembly.net. But why do we need our General Jural Assembly? What is that all about, Jason? What is this? I keep hearing about this from some people that I know. They're trying to talk to me about restoring this republic, and I'm just not quite sure what all this is. I keep hearing about this thing about tactical civics. I keep hearing about We the County. I hear about the American States Assembly. I hear about this, and I hear about that. What's this National Assembly, and why is it any different from the others? Well, we're going to get into that, and we're going to explain why it's so significantly different from the others. But first off, let me explain about the Assembly. We need our General Jural Assembly to rebuild our nation and states, okay, restoring them to the original jurisdiction that was envisioned by our founding documents, right? The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Fundamental Orders of 1638, the Declaration of Independence. And it's a platform to address grievances and ensure that power resides and always will reside with the people and not distant authorities, okay? Now, in an assembly, men and women come together united by common principles and goals to collectively wield the lawful authority that is always and should have never left our hands. It's it's a recognition that the strength of our convictions and the legitimacy of our actions are magnified when we stand together as a community rather than as isolated individuals. And that is, my good friends, what people do in the American States Assembly. They do things on an isolated individual basis, okay? They're self-serving. They do things for me. They do things for the me. Not for the we, not for the we the people. They do it just for themselves, right? And that's not even saying that what they're doing is even correct, because a lot of those people landed themselves in jail. In some cases, some of them landed themselves shot and dead because of their nonsense. So what the National Assembly does, what the General Jural Assembly does, is it's working for the collective people, the populace of this country, not just for me. It's not a self-serving thing. So we need to reclaim our power and build a future where our voices are heard and our rights are upheld. And like Destry was saying right here in the chat, it's basically to help the country at large, because together, as we the people, through our General Jural Assemblies, we can shape the course of history and finally restore this Republic of America to its true essence. Now, let me share this with you. When I first got involved in the Assembly, I had no idea really what I was doing. I did it. I stayed silent for roughly 5 to 6 months. I tried to soak up every bit of information that I could, but I knew that I was still kind of over my head, right? And that was my own personal assessment, because it was a lot of information. Now, everybody has different comprehension levels. Everybody has different skill sets and different talents and different time availability. And this doesn't have to be a full-time job, but I'm going to be here to tell you the truth, though. What it does require you to be available when a Seventh Amendment common law grand jury is impaneled to deliberate on important cases and investigate findings of facts. That is at the bare minimum what you are needing to be, you know, around for, what you need to be made available for, okay? If nothing else, at the very bare minimum, that's what you need to be available for. Now, however, if you decide to become more involved in your county and your state and perhaps hold an office, you want to, you know, maybe throw your name in the hat for an office on the state level, like statesman or delegate or chief trustee, or if you prefer to stick with, you know, county positions like moderator or treasurer, you can do that as well based on your availability and how much effort and time you want to put into this. But restoring this republic, this is the type of thing that doesn't just happen overnight. I mean, I'm coming up on 3 years of being involved with this, and I tell you what, folks, there's a lot of exciting things happening. I wish I could divulge more on it, but I can't at the moment, but actions should be more visible for you. But here's the thing. Restoring the Republic doesn't happen overnight. It won't happen by us sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do all the work. The reason we got into this predicament to begin with is because we've been very apathetic. We've been very complacent. We've allowed Big Brother government to take control over our lives. And they've grown so big, so fast over such a short period of time that now it's just becoming just the big oppressive tyrannical monster that it is. And we cannot continue this way, which means we must be active on some level. Now, this process isn't complex or difficult. I promise you, it's not. It might seem like it at first, but it's not. You don't need a fancy degree or you don't need to be a scholar, but you must be willing to, you know, be willing to self-educate and, you know, self-educate yourself and unlearn what the school indoctrination systems tried teaching you. Okay. Recognize that you've been misled and embrace the true history that we've uncovered. Now, I'm here to tell you, don't feel pressured to try to know everything. You're not going to know everything. You're not going to understand everything right off the bat. Even longtime people, members who have been in this for 5-10 years are still learning. All right. Continuous self-education is key, though. But be discerning of the misinformation from unreliable sources aiming to confuse, because there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of books that people try to pick up and they try to read and they try to, you know, put it out there as actual, you know, information to say, hey, this is a good book. We should read this and adopt some of this information in the assembly. It's like, no, 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 no. Understand who the author is, who's the author affiliated with. You have to be very careful with what information you're bringing into your mind and in the assembly. But before we get further into discussion on that topic further on the other side of this show about why we assemble, let's get into the reading of Psalm 40, chapter 40, verses 1 through 12. Very quick reading. But Psalm 40, verses 1 through 12 emphasizes the idea of seeking guidance and trusting in God's faithfulness during times of uncertainty. It parallels the need for men and women to discern truth from falsehood, aligning actions with righteous principles. Just as the psalmist waits for the Lord's deliverance, we are urged as people who are trying to restore this republic, right, to continuously educate ourselves, trusting in divine wisdom, and also while resisting misleading narratives and deceitful actors and agents. So without further ado, let's get into the reading real quick before we continue on to the other side of the show about why we assemble. Now, verse 1 starts off by saying, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and ordered my goings. And he hath put in my mouth a new song of praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and regardeth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Lord my God, thou hast made thy wonderful works so many that none can count in order to thee thy thoughts toward us. I would declare and speak of them, but they are more than I am able to express. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, for mine ears hast thou prepared. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come for in the roll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do thy good will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within mine heart. I have declared thy righteousness in the great congregation. I will not refrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within mine heart, but I have declared thy truth and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy mercy and thy truth from the great congregation. Withdraw not thou thy tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let thy mercy and thy truth always preserve me. For innumerable troubles have compassed me. My sins have taken such hold upon me that I am not able to look upon. Yea, they are more in number than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, mine heart hath failed me. That is the 1599 Geneva Bible translation of Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 12, hence all the old English you just heard there. You think listening to it might be a little challenging, try reading it on the fly. Now, in this reflection, though, okay, of what we just read, in this reflection, we see a very profound acknowledgement of the transformative power of God's intervention, right, and the importance of trusting in God's providence. Now, just as David waited patiently for God's intervention and found strength in his mercy, we too, as men and women who are striving to restore this republic through our self-governing system rooted in common law, we can also find solace in trusting in God's guidance during this process. just as David rejected the notion of mere ritual sacrifices and emphasized the importance of obedience and having God's law written in one's heart. We too reject the idea that superficial actions alone will bring about meaningful change. But instead, we affirm our commitment to proclaiming truth and righteousness, refusing to carry or conceal, I should say, the mercy and salvation that come from aligning ourselves with divine principles. So, you know, in the face of all these challenges and the weight of our own shortcomings, we plead for God's mercy, right? And guidance as we strive to uphold justice and restore the principles upon which our nation was founded. And like David, we acknowledge our dependence on God's tender mercy and truth to sustain us through life's trials. And Lord knows we have a lot of them. And as we work towards a future where the Republic of America is restored to its rightful place, governed by the principles of common law and rooted in divine providence, this parallel statement that we read here, I would say, emphasizes the themes of faith and the trust in divine providence, and also the importance of aligning ourselves with the righteous principles as we work, you know, towards restoring our de jure governing Republican form of government. Now, why do we assemble? Why do we assemble? Well, like Destry was saying here in the chat, the people, way back when, dropped the ball and fell asleep. It's like George Carlin, I think his name is, right? George Carlin, the comedian. Why do they call the American dream the American dream? Because you have to be asleep to dream it. And that is where they want us, ladies and gentlemen. They want us asleep at the wheel, and they want us to veer so far off the path that we crash and burn and we are unrecoverable, so they can just take over from there and be able to, just take over. Now, I want to review a couple things. I have to bring it up now on my phone because it's not pulling up on my computer, because, of course, technology can't work properly the way I want it to. So bear with me for a second. Couple things I want to go over. Now, the first thing I want to kind of touch on is the grand juries. Now, there is a book out there called Corpus Juris Secundum 38A. Now, I don't expect you to know that book, especially if you're a newcomer, but you should know that that is a very relevant manual on how to conduct, how to impanel grand juries and all the rules within it. Now, in subsection 8, I believe it's line 61, it says there cannot be a grand jury de facto when there is a grand jury de jure. Well, Jason, I'm a newbie. I don't know what de facto and de jure means. Okay, well, let me just break that down for you real quick. De jure is Latin, which means literally of law, thus being legitimate, lawful by right, of law, according to law. De facto is Latin for in fact or in reality, thus it exists, but it might not necessarily be legally ordained or morally right. So the corporation is a de facto government system that we've been under the thumb of, and the de jure is the people's self-governing system, which is what we are returning back to, original jurisdiction. That would be common law, God's law, natural law, okay? And yes, like Destry was saying right here, de facto, they're de facto government. It's illegitimate, but it's in effect, okay? So the de jure is by the people, de facto is by the corporation, all right? Now, another thing I want to go over here is what the late Justice Antonin Scalia said once upon a time about the grand juries. And he said, the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside. We think it clear that, as a general matter at least, that no such supervisory judicial authority exists. The common law of the Fifth Amendment demands a traditional functioning grand jury. So basically what that's saying is nobody stands over the grand jury. The grand jury holds the most power, right, than even the president of the United States of America over the military. There's a thing called jury nullification. So in other words, if there is a law that legislature passed, okay, the legislature branch passed, and it was too confusing for the common man and woman to understand or comprehend. Well, through jury nullification, a grand jury can actually toss that law right out in its face and say, nope, sorry, out. Doesn't matter what the president says. Doesn't matter what, you know, the Speaker of the House in the, you know, in Congress says. Doesn't matter. The common law grand jury is the buffer. That's the referee between the people and the bottom lower branches of government. And yes, Destry was saying right here in this, in the chat room here, the jury has more power than all combined, except for God. I'm glad he added that in there. Yes, except for God, because God created man to be part of the grand jury. Even the angels comply. Now, that was one quote from the late Justice Antonin Scalia. There are many more, but I'm not going to get into that for the sake of time. But I do want to read Amendment 5 and Amendment 7, just for the record. So Amendment 5 does say, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. All right, I'm just going to read the first part of that. All right, unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury. Now, obviously, there's more to it, and I welcome you to go to the Amendment 5 and read it. But remember what it says in Corpus Juris Secundum. When there is a grand jury de jure, a grand jury de facto cannot exist. And Amendment 7 says, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact, listen up, people, no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Well, Jason, what does that really mean? Well, that basically means that whatever the grand jury deliberates on, guess what? It means that a judge can't re-examine the facts. A lawyer or a bar attorney cannot re-examine the facts. Nobody can outweigh the voice of the grand jury. And notice that it says, according to the rules of the common law. Common law would be the de jure system. De facto is all maritime rule, maritime law, okay? So, there's that. Let me make sure I'm not missing any other slides here that I had put on my notes that obviously don't want to show up now randomly on my computer. Okay, that was the last of them. Okay, very good. So, I can do away with that. Now, before I continue on with the topic of why we assemble, I'm going to play, it's a 9-minute audio. I did get this from the national-assembly.net website. We are the plan, ladies and gentlemen. And again, this show is going to be geared more towards the newbie, the prospecting man or woman who has been presented, you know, this information about why we assemble, how we restore our republic, right? This is meant to be kind of a recruitment tool, if anything, to help you maybe understand the basics. And if hopefully we prompt your interest enough to want to explore more about what the assembly is all about, at which I'm going to give you more information at the end of the show on educational calls that you can be invited on, that you can call in, obviously for free. There's no hassle. You're not required to speak. Just dial in, put yourself on mute, and just learn. And if your, you know, spirit decides to move you into action and to be part of the solution, then we can help you with that. But it all starts right here, ladies and gentlemen, getting familiar with why we assemble. Let me play this 9-minute clip because this is very important, okay? So 9 minutes starting right now. Maybe. There we go.
Something is going on. Some of us see it. Some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself. Let me tell you a story. For a very long time, our world has been under the growing influence of a vast transgenerational criminal mafia that was able to rise up to the highest levels of power. We didn't know because they talked and acted just like you and me. We thought we could recognize true criminals by their words and actions, but were deceived by their sophisticated speech, wealth, education, beauty, and power. Through a system of threats, blackmail, and bribery, they would come to occupy the highest levels of power in government, corporations, and education. You may know them as the Deep State, or Cabal. Most dangerously of all, they achieved almost total influence over the media, their primary means of controlling the good people of the world who were just trying to get on with living. They used this power to slowly convince us that we were the problem, that we were a threat to each other. They used race, gender, and religion to set us apart, and rewrote history to validate these false claims. They funded both sides of wars just to crush our potential to prosper and succeed as a peace-loving and creative force of good for the world. Now, with their firm grasp on the media, we drank in their entertainment and lies as they began their final phase, the total takedown of America. We were the brightest remaining beacon of freedom and humanity's last hope. They knew that if they could take America, the rest of the world would follow. They cut deals that led us to hand over total control of the money system to a private central bank, the Federal Reserve. This made it possible to influence Washington, D.C., and most of our presidents since then were beholden to the criminals in one way or another. Things took a really bad turn when they concentrated vast power into the hands of the many civilian intelligence agencies throughout the world. They said they were there to protect us. Instead, these agencies were catastrophically weaponized to boost drug and human trafficking cartels, assassinate political opponents, undermine the military, and change regimes of foreign governments who did not want to adopt the centralized system of money control. You might think they would choose simply to remain in the shadows running their criminal activities while we carried on with our lives. But as long as there was freedom for the people to prosper, the cabal were always at risk of being discovered and shut down. There was no way to continue without a plan to eliminate all threats to their survival, even if it meant imposing a single world government under their jurisdiction, where no national identity, police force, or military could stop them. They called it globalism. Exploiting our emotions and our instincts of compassion, they found a way to justify dismantling cultures, borders, and national identity under the guise of social justice, creating false narratives of racism, colonialism, and capitalism to destabilize and ultimately collapse societies so they were no longer secure enough to reject this dark plan for the world. Where there was no history to distort, they would use wars to force a catastrophic mass migration of peoples across borders to destabilize and weaken cultural identity. When we didn't accept this, they called us intolerant and shamed us into silence. By 2008, America was in advanced stages of economic decline, with disastrous trade deals leading to widespread loss of jobs and a devastating financial crisis. The cabal had now absorbed another extensive criminal empire that was aligned with a twisted and radical form of Islam. Realizing the competition could threaten their goals, they decided to cooperate and agree to mutual terms. Now a hostile foreign enemy was able to insert a subordinate into the U.S. political system who would become the president. Saudi Prince Al-Walid bin Talal funded Obama's Harvard education and took power by proxy, picking his entire cabinet while buying vast quantities of control in our largest media companies. The Western faction of the cabal was different. It was another kind of sick altogether. A dark and deeply sinister death cult with a strong reliance on symbolism and numerology, with levels of cruelty unimaginable to all right-thinking people. The reach and scale the secret society had achieved would have sent destabilizing shockwaves across the world were it ever to be publicly exposed. They were highly skilled at living just below the surface as they worked their way into the United States presidency. With both factions of the global mafia now in control, are you ready to hear what they had planned? Make sure you're sitting down. They installed rogue operators in government. They opened back doors to leak highly classified military intel and top secret special access programs. They cut military funding and weakened the command of generals with irrational new rules of engagement. They worked to dismantle NASA and end our supremacy in space. They infiltrated and exposed defensive military intelligence programs that reduced our ability to detect foreign and domestic threats. They used our trusted agencies to target and weaken political opponents. They relaxed our borders and enabled passage of millions of illegals and violent criminal gangs. They moved money to fund global terrorism, resulting in groups like ISIS moving to capture vast territories throughout the world. In 2016, the Cabal Alliance had hoped to retain power. If you are not yet chilled to the bone by the picture that is forming about their intentions for us all, let me tell you what was to come next. Through international climate change scams, they would have siphoned trillions of remaining wealth, eliminate the last good guys in government, and withdraw total funding from the U.S. military, handing over the responsibility of our defense to the United Nations. They would revise the Constitution to weaken our ability to fight back, ban the sale of firearms to eliminate our self-defense, insert their people into the Supreme Court, remove the Electoral College system to neuter our voting power, and totally eliminate alternative media to shield them from exposure. They instigated a covert deal to move large quantities of our uranium to their captured states in North Korea and Iran to build up a nuclear arsenal that would threaten the world. For this, they blamed Russia, a growing force of opposition to their ambitions of global control. By casting Putin as an enemy and blaming him for this illegal uranium deal, they had planned a devastating nuclear world war between America and Russia that would have exhausted the last two remaining pillars of freedom for the world, accelerating the horrific endgame that had become inevitable. This cabal miraculously lost power in 2016 when a brave operation, led by a U.S. military alliance and their global partners, were able to return power legitimately over to the light. They had a plan of their very own, one that was many decades in the making. With Donald Trump selected for the role of president, the people of America were slowly awakened to the reality of the world they live in. With so much hidden and lied about in the media channels we had come to trust for our news and entertainment, this alliance of good set into motion a sophisticated strategy of dismantling the vast network of corruption that had almost completely overcome every level of government, industry, and the legal system. They knew they had to follow the laws of the land as they were originally intended. Otherwise, they themselves would be delegitimized, even though they were just trying to free us from the silent stranglehold of tyranny that we had come to accept as normal. The panicking deep state used any remaining power they had left to try and save themselves. Each day for 2 years was a careful and meticulously planned balancing act between public perception and the job that needed to be done. Moving too fast would shock and scare a sleeping public still living in the prison of the mind that was created for them. But after all this, it appears now that not only are we winning, but we have won. The trajectory of this great storm is now radiantly clear. Now we look forward to a new future, thanks to the brave patriots who risked everything to save our world. This time for good. There is not a person alive who has experienced what a world without this darkness could be like. A world of free energy that was kept from us to force our dependency on their fossil fuel monopolies. Abolishment of income tax that was illegally imposed to pay back interest on loans taken from the cabal banking system. Released cures for our most deadly diseases. Unleashed space technologies to open frontiers we never dreamed possible. New technologies creating millions of jobs and yielding a global human renaissance the likes of which we have never seen. Fellow Americans and citizens of the world, now it is our turn to shine. Wherever we are, we will become the plan when we choose to reject what they called globalism. We recognize the words they use to bend us to their will, and we say no more. It's time to turn off the media, follow your instincts, trust yourself, and be the plan. May God bless America and the world.
So, what did you all think of that? What did you think of that little piece that I played right there? I found that, again, that's on the welcome mat there. If you go to national-assembly.net, and then you go to forums, and in fact, let's just do this real time, www.national-assembly.net. There's some links. You go to your menu, you click forums and blog, go down to National Assembly Forums, click on that. And it's the second post down. It says, new, start here. That's where I grabbed that audio piece. All right. So that's number one. Now, why we assemble. All right. Now, everything you heard in that video should chill you to the bone. It should piss you off. It should really, really piss you off. And not just in, I'm going to go to my friends and complain about what this government is doing and blah, 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 blah. And you sit in your garage drinking a six pack, basically, quote unquote, solving problems of the world, but without really solving them because you're just sitting around just kind of complaining and moaning. Well, wouldn't it be great if you actually could do something about it instead of just complain and moan and complain some more and have nothing be done about it? The purpose of assembling our General Jural Assemblies is to empower the people, as true power resides in their hands, in our hands. At the county level, we need to gather at a minimum 13 men and women to form a petite jury for local trials, but more than anything, we need to assemble our states first. We need to assemble our states, okay? At the state level, we aim for at least a minimum of 27 men and women. We at least tell people, try to shoot for 30 people because you're always going to have a couple people flake out. You're always going to have a couple people flake out. And you might be wondering, well, why 27? Well, if you read Section 61 in the Magna Carta, it'll give you your answer right there. Go do a little homework. Go look up the Magna Carta. You could find that in, you know, the assembly. The national-assembly.net website, or if you have a Patriots Edition Bible, all right, 1599 Geneva Bible, you can go toward the back. I believe the Magna Carta is printed on the Patriot Edition of the 1599 Geneva Bible. Go read Section 61, and you'll understand where the number comes from. But again, this number is very crucial for impaneling a common law Seventh Amendment grand jury, emphasizing the significance of self-governing, a self-governing participation in upholding the law and ensuring accountability. Now, the common law grand jury is in essence the second branch of government. Well, wait a minute, Jason. Second branch of government? Hold on a second. You don't sound like you know what you're talking about. I was always taught in school that there was three branches of government. That was the judicial, that was the legislative, and that was the executive. What are you talking about? The grand jury is the second branch of government. That's not even a branch of government. Well, that's where your school system did you a disservice, my friend. There are five branches of government, the first and biggest one being the people in assembly, right? The people of America, the people in General Jural Assembly. Then you got your common law grand juries. And then below that, you got your legislative, executive, and judicial branches. See, God made people, right? Therefore, the people made government. And in that government are three lower branches of government. That would be the three that I just listed, legislative, judicial, and executive. But see, the executive and judicial and the legislative branches of government did not create the people. Therefore, they have no ownership of the people. But the people, which were, again, created by God, right, our Heavenly Father by divine providence, He, our Father in heaven, created us. And because we created government, which is a system, we hire, elect, and appoint people to run that system to help protect our rights. But somewhere along the line, we dropped the ball, fell asleep, and now the insane people are running the asylum. Destry puts right here, the first two in Bill of Rights because the people, lower three in the Constitution to cage the government. That's right. Oh, I'm sorry. He had a typo here. The first two in the Bill of Rights are below the people, lower three in the Constitution to cage the government. So again, the common law grand jury is in essence the second branch of government. You have your lower three branches of government. Again, just a recap, okay, which would be the legislative, executive, and judicial, okay, just in case we didn't cover that enough, just so you know. And above that, you got the people in assembly, which is the first branch of government, we the people. And then you got your common law grand juries, which again, like Justice Antonin, the late Justice Antonin Scalia once said, it serves as kind of like a referee or a buffer between the lower branches of government and the people. All right. The people elect and appoint and hire those servants, those public servants. But if they usurp their power and they abuse their power and they overstep their boundaries and they trespass on us, we the people, okay, well, they're going to have some big problems. That's like you working at the company you work at and walking into your boss's office or the board of directors' office or the CEO's office, and you just clock them across the face and you drag them or her out of their chair and you take over and you prop your feet up and you start smoking a cigar and you say, well, Frank, things have changed. I'm taking over this joint. you let me know how well that goes, because I guarantee you, you will be landed in jail, in prison. Well, see, that's what our de facto government has done. That's what the corporate cabal has been doing. They basically have cold clocked us, sat in our chairs, occupied those chairs, except you know what we didn't do? We didn't basically exert our power of the people to bring justice. Like Destry says here in the chat, the Constitution is below the people because the people created it for the lower three branches. That is correct. You see, we, the people, are the boss of our public servants. That doesn't mean we treat them like crap, but we are the boss. We are the board of directors of our public servants in the lower branches of government. And the grand juries and common law is what helps keep the lower branches of government accountable to make sure they stay in their lanes. A de jure grand jury is the only lawful grand jury. And even, like I said, the Corpus Juris Secundum in 38A manual on grand jury states that a de facto grand jury cannot exist when there is a grand jury de jure. Thus giving credence to the credibility and importance of a common law grand jury. Now, this is one of the biggest reasons why we assemble, ladies and gentlemen. We are more of a jural society than a legislative body. And we are here to hold our government accountable and to make sure that they do not trespass on we, the people, like they have been for the last, I don't know, century or so. And look, I know you've been sick and tired of our government with the scamdemic that they called COVID-19. You know, the one that they can't even show us reference material that the damn virus existed. There's no existence of COVID-19. You do a FOIA at the for any NIH or any other state health institute, right? NGO, you know, organization, you FOIA for that information. They'll all say, "Oh, that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. We can't give you that because it doesn't exist." Well, no kidding. Were you sick of the mask? Were you sick of wearing the mask and the 6-foot social distancing and the writing, you know, the arrows going one way up and down the grocery aisle at the stores? I bet you guys loved that. I bet you loved hearing over the loudspeaker at your grocery store, at your local Walmart, or whatever it is you were at, that repeating announcement that you only thought you would hear in movies was playing out in real life. Due to the COVID-19 virus, please maintain your 6-foot social distancing and make sure you wear your mask above your nose, and you need to listen to us because we know what's best for you, because Big Brother Government told us that we have the authority to tell you, the people, what to do here at this XYZ grocery store. I bet that pissed you off, didn't it? It should. Let it piss you off. And you know what else should make you mad even further? All the human and child and women sex trafficking and slave trafficking that they're engaged in. Jason, what are you talking about? Our government's engaged in that? You bet your bottom freaking declining, devaluing federal debt note that you like to call a dollar. Yes, you bet your bottom dollar it is. And it's not just in this country, it's worldwide. And then there's the money laundering. And then there's the democide that occurred because of the COVID-19 shots. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, it's, again, not just in this country, it's worldwide. And the corruption and scandals are almost endless. You can't freaking put an end on the amount of crimes that these people have done and perpetrated on we the people. But here is why this is so important. Listen up. Grab a paper, piece of paper, grab a pen, pencil, whatever, marker. I don't care. Your wife's lip liner, grab it. Your participation in the grand jury at common law is so relevant because this is the only way that we put these bad people in the corporate cabal criminal syndicate that some of you might know as the deep state behind bars or hung at the end of a rope at Gitmo. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we do have a continuity of government that the military is running right now. And if you actually read the Law of War manual and you understand some of the executive orders that former President Donald John Trump put out. And I say former for a reason. I still say he's kind of our president, but he's definitely our commander in chief, because guess what? That nuclear football never got handed to that fake phony fraud that they call President Biden. No, Trump still has the football. What football? The nuclear football. He is still commander in chief over our armed forces. Over 10, 11, I can't remember exactly how many years ago, 12 years now, 12 years ago, I think. Destry can correct me, I think, but 21 requisitions were issued to the military to take care of this issue. And like that video said, this plan has been in the works and in the making for decades. We are just now about to see the fruits of the, you know, we're about to see the fruits of all that labor of decades worth of work come about here. I don't want to make predictions on dates, but fairly soon, I would imagine. That's my guess. December of 2011 is when those 21 requisitions got issued to the military. Folks, this is why we assemble. And if you are sick and tired of your government stepping on your throat and trampling on your rights and taxing you through the flipping nose when you are struggling to try to figure out how you're going to pay for your rent, your mortgage, or feed your family, this is where it ends, is with us. The buck stops here. And it is up to people like you and I to take control once and for all through the General Jural Assembly of your respective state. And then, of course, your counties. And we, the people in the Michigan General Jural Assembly and the Alaska General Jural Assembly, are setting precedents for how all the other states need to move going forward. You cannot do your own thing. We have a Michigan model for a reason. Now, I do want to cover the 10 steps to an assembly, and I'm going to summarize it. It's actually a lot longer, and that is also found on the national-assembly.net website. But I just want to give you an overview of how a state assembly gets set up. Step one. You gather people, okay, at least 27 minimum, but you want at least 30, okay, 25 plus two alternates, but we suggest 30 people. Gather people, bring them together in a group, discuss your community concerns. Introduce the concept of an assembly to address prevalent grievances. That's step one. Step two. And by the way, yes, it is in this order, and do not try to fast forward through these steps and do not try to skip steps. It won't work. People have tried. You will fail if you do that. Keep them in order and you take your time and be thorough. It's not difficult, but it does take time to do. Step two, formalize the structure. Establish key roles in your assembly, like moderator, who's going to be the recording secretary, the bailiff, so on and so forth, so you can ensure orderly meeting. Step three, determine the numbers that are needed. Research the historical precedents to determine the optimal numbers of an assembly of assembly members for the state and county levels. Now, generally, again, minimum, you want at least 30 for the state level. And if you're going to have your county assembly, I believe it's 12 plus one alternate in order to formulate a petite jury. Okay, to be able to have a petite jury on the county level. That's step three. Step four, you want to prioritize safety. Emphasize the importance of safety and well-being of the assembly members and the community. Step number five, publish your notices. Publish notices in newspapers and legal sections to inform the public and government officials about the assembly's formation. Now remember, all this stuff can be found on the MichiganDeJure.net website, okay? So it's not like you're going to be kind of like out in the dark. We have set the standard. You just have to follow it and apply it properly. And don't add your own spin to it unless your state has a little bit of a different history of its origins, okay? Because obviously it's not going to be a cookie cutter. It's not going to be a cookie cutter type of thing. But for the most part, most states, if they follow the Michigan model, they should succeed. And Destry put it in here in the chat. Thank you for that. MichiganDeJure.org. That's MichiganDeJure, DeJure, DeJure.org. MichiganDeJure.org. Step six, research and present findings. Assign volunteers to research specific topics and present evidence to address government abuses. Step seven, keep records. You want to keep records of your meetings, folks. Maintain detailed records of assembly meetings, decisions and communications, motions to challenge government actions. Step eight, develop documents, create documents outlining assembly functions, operations, grand jury procedures if applicable. Step number 9, educate and research. Encourage learning about the Republic's origin and analyze legislative documents and demand correction through repeal of abusive laws. Step 10, you must continuously hold regular meetings, at least on a monthly basis, face-to-face, or however. We do weekly meetings and then a once-a-month state in face-to-face meeting, but hold regular assembly meetings to discuss findings and address grievances and communicate with the government representatives and, well, basically move the football down the field. I'll tell you what, we've certainly moved the football down the field quite in a significant way. I wish I could elaborate more, but for the sake of, for the sake of just making sure everything goes well, we're just going to leave that alone for a minute, but you'll see. But again, if you want to learn, and you're new here, and you want to learn more about why we assemble, and you want to learn the history of how did we get here? What happened back then that led us to where we're at today? Well, again, to learn more about the General Jural Assemblies and understanding the historical context that led us to our current situation, I'm going to give you this website again. You can visit national-assembly.net. We are actively engaged in the lawful remedy to restoring the Republic of the United States of America back to common law and returning back to original jurisdiction, to a de jure form of government. And to take the next step and dive deeper into this important subject matter, I have gotten the permission from the Georgia General Jural Assembly, which we have a representative of here that I know of. Her screen name here is Lisa from Georgia. I'm not going to give her full name here, but Lisa from Georgia, she's here right now in the chat room. She gave me permission to share the email. So if you want to learn more about the history and the education about what happened then and where we're at today and what do we do going forward, email comsec@GA de jure. I'm going to spell it, but it's comsec@GA de jure assemble.com. Now, Lisa, I don't know if this might have been a mistypo, but I'm going to spell it. So it's comsec, comsec, at GA de jure. That's DEJURE. Assembly. Okay, there was an E missing on mine. Assembly, ASSEMBLY.com. That's comsec@GADEJURASSEMBLY.com. COMSEC at GADEJURASSEMBLY.com. So email comsec@GADEJURASSEMBLY.com and they will send you an invite. By reaching out, you'll receive a welcome letter. In fact, if Lisa has a minute, I know she was cooking dinner. I don't know if she's got a minute or two. If you want to chime in and give any more information. Otherwise, if not, no big deal. I can just give whatever you gave me over text. Okay. I'm going to add her in real quick. So just one moment. Invite a speaker. Let's see if this works. All right, says Lisa from Georgia Connected. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hey, 5-5. Very good. So, well, thank you for giving us a couple minutes of your time. I was hoping you'd still stick around here. So, so they can email you, right? Or at least the ComSec email. And what happens at that point for the newcomer that wants to learn? And it doesn't, and by the way, people, it doesn't matter if you're from like, I don't know, Texas or Colorado, right? Like you guys welcome out-of-staters to listen in on your education call. Is that right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason, for all that you're doing to support the assemblies and for having us in this podcast. It's blessed so many people, especially those of us in Georgia who love to hear you. All you would have to do is, like Jason said, just email comsec@GADEJURASSEMBLY.com. And then once we receive that, we usually send on Monday nights or Tuesday mornings the call detail for the week of that the call is going to happen. But for all of you who are listening, if you're around the states, no matter what state you're in, as soon as we receive your specific request, we'll send you a welcome letter, and it will have maybe a little bit of Georgia-specific content in it, but obviously we're welcoming all the states. It'll have links and obviously to the national-assembly.net website, and then also it'll have some of the content in about maybe five links for you to begin your own re-education. So if you've got a couple weeks before the next call happens, it would be awesome for you to start clicking those links, reading the documents and on self-governance and looking at the 10 steps that you'll find in the forum section of that website that we've been giving you. So there's a lot to get started. And then when you join us, we're going to give you a 1.5 hour presentation. And then there'll be 30 minutes of Q&A at the end. So you'll be able to ask questions, hear from other folks. We're working actively in Georgia. We've got our state assembled. We're working on our counties now. So you'll get to hear from some of that dialogue. And then hopefully we can encourage you and answer some of your questions to get your either state going or your county. So with that, I'll yield Jason and see if there's anything else you might want me to answer.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. First, I got to ask you, what kind of mic, do you have a Bluetooth headset you use, or is that just your phone on your speaker?
It's just my phone.
Wow. What phone do you have?
I have an iPhone 11.
It sounds so crisp, man. Mine must be crap. I don't know. Well, it sounds clear. Like, it almost sounds like you have a studio mic. That's how clear it sounds.
Oh, awesome.
It's amazing. Well, that's awesome. But yeah, so again, folks, email the ComSec at GA Assembly, excuse me, at ComSec@GADeJureAssembly.com. And like I said, you heard exactly what the lady said. Now, I will tell you guys this, okay, because again, that call is predominantly for Georgia to grow their assembly. They are just being very, very kind until more states get situated with their own education call. They're being very kind and inviting people into their house. So I ask that when you do go and listen, that you be very respectful. Try not to monopolize when you ask questions, because I mean, everybody's going to have questions, but this is something that they are being really generous and gracious on. And so I just want to make sure that I put that out there. That is really awesome, Lisa, that you guys do that in your state. And on behalf of the assembly of all people in all different states, we thank you guys for that. And I think, in the other email, there is another email I want to put out there. So if you're in a different state that's not Georgia, and you're kind of wondering, what am I going to do in my state? I don't know what's going on in my state. Well, feel free to reach out to Destry. He's the perfect conduit to help you get in touch with either your ComSec, or if there's no ComSec, meaning communication secretary, but if there's no ComSec in your state, there could possibly be a coordinator getting things started. But you can email him at contentmanager1@yahoo.com. Again, contentmanager1@yahoo.com. And he will help you get in touch with the proper people in your state. But I think other than that, Lisa, I think that's it. Is there anything else you wanted to add to the mix here?
I think that covers it in terms of joining the call. We're always available for you. And we just really want to encourage you that if you're in a state and you find out that you're the only one there, you can be the coordinator. I literally stepped up and just said, I'm willing. I didn't know how to do anything. I just researched, listened to the calls, and just said, I will. And then people came around me. Folks in the National Assembly have been super helpful. Michigan's been super helpful. So if you're resourceful and you ask for help, you're going to get it. So just want to reaffirm you that if you're in your state and you're the only one, step up, take the charge, and begin to talk about the assembly and bring them to our call. We'll help you walk them through the education process so that you can begin your recruiting and get your 35 people in a room, which is the most important thing right now. So with that, I'll yield. Jason, thanks so much.
10-4 on that. Get back to that cook and don't burn that meal for your hubby there.
I'll try not.
All right, I'll put you on mute here. You're good. All right. And so that was Lisa from Georgia with the Georgia General Assembly. Now, again, after listening to Georgia's education call, you might wonder, okay, well, what happens if I decide to join the General Assembly, Jason? Then what? Well, like I said, understand, I do need to put this out here for you. Understand that joining doesn't necessarily guarantee instant acceptance, okay, if you already have an assembly that's formulated in your state. There is a vetting process that needs to take place, and it usually involves with a little bit of a friendly interview, okay? You need to know, that if there's a vetting committee, you might be going through some vetting processes, because we've had people in the MGJA that has tried to obfuscate and take this assembly down. Well, why would they want to do that, Jason? Well, again, because we are on target and they know what we are doing is the lawful, proper way. Again, the military recognizes us. They're taking orders from the 21 requisitions we gave them. We're recognized by 7 different countries. Oh, and by the way, again, I'm going to reiterate, the Hague did not put out any rebuttal when we put out worldwide notice, okay? But anyways, again, we have to make sure we're very cognizant of who gets in the assembly, because we cannot just let any Tom, Dick, and Harry in here to just run amok. Okay, but we will assist you however needed. Generally, people will have sponsors. If you don't have a sponsor, don't worry. Again, we'll just reach out to Destry at contentmanager1@yahoo.com. All right. All I would have to say to that is, we just need to stay vigilant against the obfuscation and the infiltration, because again, we're target number one by the deep state, folks, because our actions threaten their power. All right. Our actions threaten their power, and they do not want us succeeding. Every time we form a state assembly and a state becomes assembled and puts out notice, as Destry says, we then are met with this thing called symmetry. So for every step what we make in the positive going forward, they meet us with a negative reaction and they block us. So it's like we can't get ahead. But there is a remedy for that too. Stay tuned for that. But with that being said, my friends that are newbies and that are wondering if they should join the assembly or learn more about it, again, I'm going to give you that email. That's comsec, let me scroll up, comsec, C-O-M-S-E-C, comsec at gadejureassembly.com, comsec at gadejureassembly.com. All right. So email them and they will email you back. Destry says post it on the billboards at the International Business Bureau. Oh, for the notice, right? Is that what you're saying, Destry, for the notice? He says illegitimate groups have nothing to show for accomplishments. And he says, yes. Yep. For the global notice. But anyway, that's about it, folks. I mean, there's really not too much more. I mean, Destry, I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. I know you're at work, sir. Destry's been doing this for quite some time. He's helped Michigan, and he's up there in Alaska, got Alaska going. I'll ask you, Destry, if you want to be added on here, I can add you on here if you have anything you want to add. Otherwise, no big deal. I know you're busy, and sometimes it gets a little loud there in the shop, but I'll wait for your answer. But that's basically about it in a nutshell, folks. Email. Destry, let's see here. Oh, he says he's on the road. So maybe a different day. Yeah, because I don't want to bother him. He was on a nice snowmobile trip yesterday with 8 other guys. So he was tearing up Alaska yesterday with his snow machine and a bunch of guys. So that has been pretty fun. But no, we'll get Destry on here on another day. But I'm hoping next week, Sunday, okay, I have to remind Mike Gill. So please, prayers up. Mike Gill asked me to remind him when we get closer. I'm going to hopefully have him on next week, Sunday, live. So prayers that this actually happens. So I'm going to message him on X. That's how we've been communicating, is X, formerly known as Twitter. I think that'd be really good. And if you don't know who Mike Gill is the holder of the Pandora Papers, which is basically all the evidence of the corruption that's been going on in our government. So I'm just curious, like, what we need to do. So let's pray for that. And hope he comes on, because that would be absolutely amazing. So with that, I think we're going to end off in prayer, because I have a little daughter that wants to play Barbies, and I need to do that before I go to bed. And don't forget, daylight savings time, in case you forgot, you need to spring forward, and you lose an hour of sleep. Yeehaw. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude, just as David did in his psalm. And we thank you for your faithfulness, for hearing our cries and lifting us out of the depths of despair. And like David, we acknowledge that you alone are our rock and our salvation, setting our feet upon solid ground and guiding our steps along the path of righteousness. Lord, you have filled our mouths with a new song of praise, a song that inspires trust and faith in those around us. And we ask that you help us to share this song with others, to declare your wonders and your truth to all who will listen, and give us the courage to trust in you completely, 100%, and to turn away from our pride and deceit, and to place our full reliance on your unfailing love and mercy. We recognize, Father, that you desire obedience. You desire obedience and a heart that is attuned to your will. Help us to internalize your law, to let it guide our hearts, words, actions in each and every day. May we not hide your righteousness within our hearts, but boldly proclaim the truth and salvation to all who need it. And we pray all this in your holy Son's name, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, remember, ladies and gentlemen, here at His Hard Line, we are firm, we are steadfast, and we are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross this line again. It is our duty. I repeat, it is our duty to hold that line, for the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy, into complacency. The enemy wants us in fear, doubtful, riddled with anxiety and hopelessness, and it aims to enslave us mentally, hindering our progress towards self-mastery, self-governance, and our self-procured relationship with our Heavenly Father. So let us remain vigilant and resolute in our commitment to holding this line. It was a pleasure and an honor to serve you all here at His Hard Line. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here next time.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast. His Hardline Podcast. Podcast. Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives, such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.